open your Bibles to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. If you would begin reading with me in verse number 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Let me stop right there and say this. It took a lot for a ruler of the synagogue to come to Jesus. But the amazing thing was that here he had heard, because when you look in the book of Mark, Jesus had gone through healing many sick people and leopards and all those type of people and withered hand and all these that had been healed, seen devils cast out, seen storms spoken to. Jesus had begun to get a reputation. And so Jairus had come, and I can only imagine when my daughter was little, she was going to die. There would be no steps I would stop at to go and try to get her help.
Amen.
So Jairus had heard of Jesus. And he come and he fell at his feet. And he besought him to come to his daughter because she was at the point of death. Then the Bible says, verse 25, And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask you to help us. Lord, as we stand, help us to see and help us to allow our minds to go back to this time and this place. And Lord, let us survey within our minds the situation that was going on. And as you were approached by Jairus and coming through the streets and being surrounded and crowded with great crowds of people, just wanting to see you and touch you. And this dear lady coming, wanting to touch the hem of your garment. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would let us see a truth out of this that would be a great help to us. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, that you are a sovereign God. Things that are impossible with men are possible with you. And dear Lord, I pray, help us to see that great truth taught throughout the Scriptures. We ask in Christ's name, amen. How many times do we find people in the Bible that are in hopeless situations? There is no hope, and they think that all hope is gone, and yet they find Jesus. And regardless of what the situation, there is no hopeless case when Jesus is around. He could do anything, and things that seemed impossible with men, he was able to speak to a storm and just cause peace to come upon the waters, the wind to cease. He's able to speak and a withered hand would come forth, whole, fresh. He's able to speak to a leopard and cause him just to be healed. Speak to one of the palsy and say, rise up and carry your bed and walk. He'd rise up and walk. If we learn anything in the Bible, we learn that God is the God of impossibilities. That there's nothing too hard for God. And there's no problem that we have in our life that we cannot bring to the Lord and find help for. In this just last chapter or so here, we find the storm coming and Jesus calming the storm. We find a man filled with 6,000 demons called Legion. And God and the Lord sending him into the pigs and swine and sending him into the river. And then we find this little girl at the point of death, and she did die. And so Jairus had come, and you can imagine how hurriedly Jairus wanted to get to his daughter. And here Jesus was coming through the streets, and this woman that had an issue of blood, she reached out and she come through and she fought her way through the crowd and she touched him. And then Jesus stopped. And you can imagine in Jairus' mind, he's saying, why stop my daughter here? Oh, we need to get there as soon as possible, knowing that she was going to die. And he stopped wanting to know who had touched her or touched him. And we know the story how that when she had touched him, she was healed of her disease of issue blood. This morning, I want to look at a couple things. I want your mind to go back, if you let me use your mind just a moment. Sometimes we read a story of this and our mind just goes by it and say, yeah, an issue of blood. But this morning, I want to put you in this woman's position. I want you to think about what she was going through. Sometimes when we read she had an issue of blood 12 years, we say, oh, well, okay, yeah, okay. But it was much, much deeper than that. Look back just a moment in your mind and think about this. The Bible says it was an issue of blood was her problem. Now, the word issue means it was a constant flowing of blood. Probably it was a menstrual flow. And she had a constant menstrual flow probably since puberty. And for 12 years, she continued to bleed and not have any help and stopping of the blood flow. Now, you may think that, well, wasn't a too big a deal, but they didn't have the means today that we had to deal with issues like that. Not only that, but when you look and think about what that would have done to her physically, any of you have ever lost blood to any significant amount, you know how weak and pale, how fatigued you get. Imagine for 12 years. Everywhere she went, and even though she was a young lady, she was worn out. Even though she was young, and if this was a situation that she'd had it since puberty, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. All it says is that she had it for 12 years. And imagine going through life and not being able to enjoy your youth and not being able to have any energy of doing anything and having to battle with this every day of your life. Not only that, but the Bible also lets us know that she'd suffered many things by many physicians. There was a book called Talmud, written for the Jews. It gave instructions on how to deal with issues like this. And it had like 11 or 12 different cures. Some of them was looking toward medical cures, and most of them had superstitions added in it. And she went out, and you can imagine being desperate and wanting some help. And some of us, sometimes we have went to a doctor. And can I say something? All doctors are not always right. Some of us have suffered things at a doctor's hand because they didn't know what they were doing, or they misdiagnosed what we had, and we had issues. You need to learn something about doctors. Doctors are human beings. They go through an education. Some of them are good, some of them are not so good, just like any other profession. And none of them are supernatural. And so here what we find is that she'd suffer many things, even though she'd been going. And she would go to this one, and whatever they'd tell her to do, she'd do it, and they'd go to this one. And, you know, it was interesting when I was looking at all the different cures. One that had superstition in it was this. She had to go and find a white donkey and get the dung of a donkey and wipe a ear corn around in the dung and carry it around with her. And then there was a couple of other little procedures that she would do as she carried this ear corn around with her. Imagine all the money she spent and everything she went through when they go, well, go out here and do this, and go out here and do this, and she'd go do it, and yet she was none the better. Imagine how disappointing it was. Doctor after doctor, year after year, and still not getting any better, and being tormented with this issue of blood. Socially, she probably wasn't married, because having an issue of blood, a man was not allowed to lie with her as long as she had an issue of blood. It was considered unclean. And he would be considered unclean for doing it. Not only that, but no one could touch her. No one could be around her. She was much like a leopard. When she had that issue of blood flowing, and because she had this issue, it was a constant flow. Therefore, it caused her to be separated from everybody else. She couldn't be around her family. She couldn't be around friends. She couldn't have a relationship. She had to beg for food at a distance because she couldn't work and couldn't do anything, because anybody that came in contact with her was unclean. We'll see it in just a moment. Not only that, but imagine. Put yourself in her shoes a moment. How lonely she must have felt. Everywhere she went, she was dejected. Everywhere she went, she was picked out of the crowd. And imagine how she felt year after year, not even be able to sit and get within any distance of anybody and have any, not even have someone to hug her, to touch her. Sometimes we read this and we don't put ourselves in the position of the person that's going through it. Religiously, she could not even go to the synagogue and get any support. You see, a woman having an issue of blood was not allowed even in the women's court. She was forbidden to come into the tabernacle while she had an issue of blood. Keep your finger here a moment and turn back, if you would, into Leviticus chapter number 15. And notice what and how they dealt with a woman that had this issue of blood. Leviticus chapter number 15, begin reading if you would in verse number 19 with me. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. And whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the evening. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean even in the evening. Skip on down, if you would, in verse 25. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. Every bed whereupon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as a bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean, as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and shall bathe himself in water, and be unclean unto evening. In other words, she couldn't go around anybody. She couldn't do anything. She was unclean. Couldn't even go worship. Imagine being that in her position. She had nobody, nothing to turn to. Financially, I don't know where she ever got any money, whether she got some from her family or what. But the Bible says here, whatever she had, she spent it all just trying to get health. Can I tell you something? Health is better than wealth. When a man's health is gone, he'll spend anything in the world to try to get good that health back. Your money don't mean nothing if you're sick and dying. She spent everything that she had trying to find a cure for what she had. She had nothing. Nothing left to do but die. And sooner or later, this problem that she had was going to get the best of her. I can imagine she probably looked pretty frail, not only being pale and weak from loss of blood, but what few crumbs that she would get that people would give her to feed her. I imagine many days she probably went hungry, because all she could do is just ask people for the kindness, like the leopards would do. Then the Bible says that, I don't know how, but she heard that Jesus was coming through. She'd heard about Jesus some way. She'd heard how he had healed these others. And she come to realization that she, the only hope that she had was in Jesus. But you see, it wasn't easy, because Jesus, as he's coming through the streets and having the crowd around him, she could not just approach him. Not only could she not approach him because of him, but if she got caught going in the crowd and touching people, being unclean, they could have, they not only would they ridiculed her, they could have beaten her and they could have stoned her to death. They could have killed her for her chances of walking and touching anybody in that crowd. The Bible doesn't say, but I imagine she probably covered herself where people wouldn't recognize her. And she fought that little frail, weak body through the crowd, trying to get where she could just get to Jesus and touch him. Because she believed in her heart that if she could just touch him, she would be made whole. And the Bible says that she went, and the moment that she touched him, there was a power, and she knew that she had been cleansed and she had been healed from her plague. And by the way, the word plague means to be beaten. That she had something that just beat her down every day. It was a plague. And she was able to fight through the crowd and reach out and touch Jesus. And the Bible says that when she did, that Jesus stopped. Now imagine this, and put your minds here. Imagine as Jesus stopped, and here Jairus was trying to rush him down to get to his daughter because his daughter was dying. And here Jesus was walking through here, and this little frail woman, nobody had nothing for her, Nobody had no time for her. Nobody could touch her. Nobody could do anything with her. And here he was, the creator of the universe, walking through the streets. And she reached out and touched him.
Amen.
And all of a sudden he stopped.
Amen.
The world didn't think nothing of her, but he did. And even though Jairus was sitting there saying, "Let's go, let's go." You know he was saying in his heart, thinking, "My daughter's going to die if we don't get there." And Jesus stopped and turned and said, "Who touched me?" The disciples said, "Lord, you got a throng around you. There's a crowd. Everybody's touching you." And he looked around and he found her. And she was scared because she thought he was going to treat her like everybody else had treated her. And she came trembling. She fell at his feet. And she told him all the truth. And he said something unto her that he never said to another woman. He called her daughter. Only time he ever referred to a woman as daughter. He wanted her to know that they had an intimate relationship and he cared for her. He said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." And from that moment on, she was whole. And she not only was whole, but he said, "Go in peace." In other words, she didn't have to worry about it anymore. Not only did she get healed because of her faith, she got saved because of her faith. And the plague never came back. But she was healed. And God was able to take a woman that seemed to be a hopeless situation. And he was able to make her whole. And listen to me just a moment. If you are here and you're lost, because of what Adam did, you have an issue that is bringing death to you. When it is finished with you, it will bring forth death. There is nothing you can do to prevent from dying. And there is nobody that can help you but one. And that is Jesus. And unless you come to your senses and realize that there is nothing in your life that is so depraved that God cannot bring you out of it. There is no sin so deep that he can't save you from it. Unless you come to him in faith, trusting and believing that he done this to others. And by the way, there was a man, I wrote his name down. Let me get it just a moment. I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not. Stuart Hamblin. Any of you ever hear of Stuart Hamblin? Stuart Hamblin was an actor. In 1949, he went to a crusade that Billy Graham was putting on. He was saved. And God changed his life. I reckon before that, he was pretty rowdy. Used to drink with some, have some drinking buddies and different ones. And I think one was a guy by the name of John Wayne. Most of you know John Wayne. Well, he went after he got saved. And John Wayne came to him one day. He said, I hear that that something happened to you, that you're not doing the things you used to do. And he began to tell John Wayne about the Lord. John Wayne told him, he said, "Why don't you just put it to a song?" And he wrote this. "It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. He'll do for you with arms wide open. He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. You realize John Wayne influenced that song? I don't know whether he ever listened to the truth of it. But think about this. It's no secret what God can do for you. He wants you to come to Him. To be dying in your sins. Have you ever thought what hell would be like? Why would you want to die and go to that terrible place when you've got one and only one that can rescue you? He said that He promises eternal life to those that will come unto Him. He said, I will in no wise cast you out, but you must come to Him believing. Would you come this morning? And can I stop and say this too before I give the invitation? Maybe you are saved. And maybe there are some issues in your life. Again, let me repeat what I said when we began. There is nothing, the Bible teaches us that there is nothing in our life too great for God. And maybe this morning you're dealing with something in your life you need to come to. And just say, Lord, I need your help. And need to take it to the Lord and fall upon your face before Him. Would you do that this morning? No one else can help. You can go to all these other places, but no one else can help you but one, and that's Jesus. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. Would you come this morning as we get a song?